the voice of reason here on the show, Seth Grossman, Liberty and Prosperity. Seth, good morning. Welcome to Talk with a Purpose.
Well, thank you. And of course, we'll be talking at our breakfast. And really what Liberty and Prosperity does is we meet over breakfast once a week to talk about things just like you do on the radio. And we also talk about it online at our libertyandprosperity.com website. And I really don't want to talk about Trump because our group, I'd say we have about one-third are still with him, one-third are against, one-third are in the middle. One thing as a lawyer I want to bring up is I'm just tired of this talk about a stolen election.
Me too.
Because if people have tried to cheat in elections for hundreds of years and we have these established laws as what you do when you suspect voter fraud. And one thing about all these ballots, there's a paper trail. People have to sign their names. You track who voted. There's a record of all that. And here, 2 years later, I don't know if you've heard it, but I have not heard of any more than maybe a dozen phony votes in this whole election.
Yes.
Because if there were thousands and thousands of stolen votes, A, the paper trail would show it. B, you know, everybody has a jealous boyfriend or a jealous girlfriend or gets drunk or wants attention. Some whistleblower would have come from somewhere and we would have found them. But the fact that we have not convinces me that all that you had is that the Democrats took advantage of the early voting and the mail-in ballots, and they spent weeks and weeks and weeks harvesting these ballots, whereas Trump and Republicans put the emphasis on Election Day. And needless to say, if you have people working for 3, 4, 5 weeks, they're going to collect more votes than somebody working one day. And it's just as simple as that. And that explains about why the vote changed during the night, because all these ballots that had been harvested over the period of 2, 3, or 4 weeks were just dumped at the election boards, you know, the 7, 8 o'clock on election night. And by the time they counted them, things changed. So there's an obvious answer, and any lawyer will tell you that. Anyone who's dealt with elections on a day-to-day basis will tell you that. And again, if the evidence were there, I would expect Trump to have all his lawyers looking for that evidence, but it's just didn't come out yet. So that's all I want to say about that. What I like to talk about, the issue that really nobody is talking about, is illegal and unsustainable immigration. We hear about the so-called crisis at the border, but the crisis is not at the border. We have millions and millions of people from other countries coming into our country, and when they get through the border, we have the government is paying these nonprofit agencies like Catholic Charities, like Jewish Family Services, like Hebrew Immigration and Aid Society, they call it HIAS. They don't even mention the Hebrew anymore. And they're moving these. Actually, I don't know if Jewish Family Services is doing it. I meant to say HIAS, Hebrew Immigration Aid Society. But they're deliberately moving all these illegal immigrants all over the country so that when you finally find out how illegal they are and how bad it is, since they're scattered all over the country, you can't send them back easily unless you have this massive, almost door-to-door campaign to do it. And it's really changing the whole characteristic of America. And so I just want to take a minute to explain how we got immigration laws in the first place. When America was founded, we did not need immigration laws because it took more than a month to get to America in a very dangerous sailing ship. So immigration did not become a problem until we had steel steamships after the Civil War. And that changed everything. That's when you had millions of people coming from all over the world to come to America, and it was simply unsustainable. We had wages went down. We had unskilled labor. The government couldn't handle it. We had slums. We had poverty. We had violence. We had strikes. We had hardship, calls for revolution. So after a 30 or 40-year debate during World War I, America decided we were going to put limits on immigration. And we did. And we limited immigration to 200,000 people per year. And those laws went into effect during World War I. Now, what happened when we had those limits on immigration? We created the American middle class. Suddenly, labor was not cheap. Wages went up. To stay in business, American industry invented all these new machines to make American workers the most productive in the world. So within 10 years of putting immigration laws into effect, most Americans owned their own homes, they had their own cars, they moved to the suburbs. Even during the Depression, most Americans lived better than anyone else in the world. And it wasn't the unions that did that. It was the limits on immigration. And it worked completely well until 1965. 1965, Ted Kennedy, who hated America, who blamed America for the death of his brother, and there's a whole lot of other stuff about Ted Kennedy, but in any case, he persuaded the Democrats to change their immigration laws and increase legal immigration by 400%. So instead of being 200,000 a year, it became 800,000 to a million a year. And then the Democrats stopped enforcing immigration laws. And so we had extra immigrants from Haiti, extra immigrants from Nicaragua. We had amnesty, which Reagan called the biggest mistake of his life in the 1980s. And now we have millions and millions. So now all the problems we have in the 1880s with the poverty, the slums, the strike, people can't talk to each other because nobody speaks the same language. It's just not sustainable. It's destroying America. And you can't stop illegal immigration with just a wall. Trump was dead wrong about that. The only way to end illegal immigration is if people are here illegally, you've got to arrest them and send them back. And the fact is, Americans today don't have the stomach to do that. They can't look at it at the TV cameras showing people, you know, who are good people, but we can't take millions and millions of people from every poor country in the world and still give a comfortable, safe, middle-class country to our children and grandchildren. So the question really is are we Americans willing to do what's necessary to allow our country to survive or not? Do we care about our children and grandchildren, or do we want to, are we afraid of enforcing laws that we had in this country for more than 60 or 70 years that worked very well? So that's an issue that no one's talking about. At Liberty and Prosperity, we talk about it. We post it on our website.
Seth, I wanted to interject here for a moment. You went back and forth via email with a couple of my listeners this week, and it was about the wind turbines. And,
yes.
You know, I read those emails three times, and I still don't understand this wind turbine thing. What I want to do is, if you're willing, I know you are, but I'm going to contact these other two individuals. Frank is one of them, and I think Fred's the other one. I want you all to have a debate here on the show. And you talk about your points, and he's going to talk about his points, and maybe we can make some sense out of this. You agree with that?
I do agree. And by the way, that brings up something else, because most Americans, to understand whether wind turbines work, you have to have some basic knowledge of science. And I don't know if you noticed, but the New Jersey released its test scores of students from third through ninth grades. And before the pandemic in 2019, only 25.4% of high school students were proficient in science. Now it's down to 23.2%. And I was listening to that program on MSNBC where Joy Reid was praising the younger voters for crushing the red wave and reelecting Democrats. And that makes a whole lot of sense because they're not proficient, according to the test scores. They can't read, they can't write, they don't know math, they don't know science, but they can vote.
Yeah.
And they're doing a good job. But all I could say about that debate, instead of talking about electric current, how you have to sustain a grid. Whenever they talk about leasing the ocean to build oil wells, the people who want to drill the oil wells are willing to bid large sums of money just for permission to drill an oil well, because they know if they drill an oil well, they're going to find oil, they're going to make lots of money, and it's going to power provide the power that we need. But here, with Governor Murphy, wants to build, I think, 1,000 wind turbines in the ocean. He says we need billions and billions of dollars to guarantee profits for the company, Ørsted, that's going to be building them. So if these wind turbines worked, and if they actually produced abundant energy, shouldn't they be paying us? Why would we have to be paying them to produce something that is supposedly, you know, free, cheap, and abundant?
Yeah.
So that's the bottom line there. Just a couple of more points. You were right. It's cold out, and this is the heart of what propaganda is all about. News is when you report facts and let people make up their own opinions from the facts. Propaganda is when you only give the facts that support your political agenda and you leave out the facts that support somebody else's agenda. So it looks, everybody thinks reality is what benefits your side. So we all know it's cold. We all know that this year, 2022, is colder than it was in 2021. And we all know that 2021 was colder than it was in 2020. Last 2 years, it's been getting colder. But if you look at any news article about climate, they won't mention that inconvenient fact at all. They'll just say that 2021 was the sixth hottest year since they took measurements. But the trend is important. I mean, they wouldn't say that with the stock market. If the stock market is going down 2 years in a row, they're not going to say, well, you know, the level of the stock market is the sixth highest it's ever been. You know, it's going down. You want to get out. So it just shows how the way they report the facts changes everything. Another example of this propaganda and how it influences people's perception of reality. I don't know if you followed it, but about 2 weeks ago, a University of Pennsylvania student, a girl, was attacked. She was just punched by someone randomly on broad daylight on Sunday at 12 noon, November 20th. And the headline said, University of Pennsylvania student attacked in Center City, female suspect sought. That's the headline. Now, of course, if you kept reading it, said, oh, yeah, the same female suspect did the same thing to another young woman on the SEPTA train at 15th Street. And then before that, there was a similar attack at Spring Garden. But what they don't tell you, that all these young students, female students, were white. The attacker was black. Why is that important? Because it shows that there's something is provoking, that there's a hate crime there. And we have to, A, identify the suspect. By the way, as far as I know, the suspect's still at large. And one of the reasons a suspect is at large is nobody can show the picture, because that would show that the suspect is black. And somehow avoiding the appearance of racism, I guess, is more important than catching someone who's dangerous, because if this violence keeps going on, eventually someone's going to get hurt or get killed. Right now, they just got punched in the face, which I guess doesn't count.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with what happened last month, where the headline was "Murder Charge Linked to Failed Promotion." A North Philadelphia man, disgruntled at being denied a promotion at FedEx, ambushed and killed the instructor who made the decision not to promote him. They didn't tell you that the killer was black, the supervisor was white, no mention of race, no suggestion it's a hate crime, no discussion as to why a black man would hate a white man like that so much to kill him. And just to show how the difference in coverage is, I don't know if you remember, last year there was a scuffle between a patron and a uniformed security guard at the Adelphia, diner in Belmar.
Yes.
And that little scuffle became national news, where they said the white security guard provoked something with the black patron, and it was just race and race and race, even saying that the white security guard was from Virginia. So race, you know, when you just had a minor scuffle at a rowdy party, it's national news. People are getting attacked or punched in the face for no reason. People are being murdered for no reason. And race is a factor. So this creates the false perception that all racism in America is because of hatred by whites against blacks. Blacks are victims. And because of that, we're not dealing with a real problem. And I don't know if you saw just the breaking news. You had this horrible murder in Atlantic City on Bellevue Avenue where this woman's just walking down the street and she's gunned down. She's black. The five people behind that drive-by killing were black. But because the race is not mentioned, everybody knows George Floyd, which happens once in every maybe a fluke in 5 or 6 years. And even with George Floyd, all he had to do was when the police officer says, come with me, you're under arrest, come in a car, all George Floyd had to do was get in the car and sit down in the car. But he didn't do that. So we're not fixing the problem. We're causing all this hatred that is leading to the violence of innocent people, and it's just got to change. And if you think that it's bad with the fake news, think of what fake history is. Fake history is where you selectively take facts, and this is what Black history is all about, take facts where every single incident that where something was done wrong in the past, whites did everything wrong, blacks did everything right. And, of course, people believe it because the people who you're lying about, they've been dead for 100 years. They can't say, oh, it's not fair. So if you could see how easy it is to distort the news today, you see how it's even easier to distort the history we teach our kids. And that's why we need your radio program. We need libertyandprosperity.com to show what's going on. And now we're finding out for the first time that Twitter and Facebook and all these other Google, Wikipedia, all these sources have been deliberately suppressing the facts that we've been presenting and systematically amplifying or sharing or boosting stuff that is falsely calling us, radical right or white supremacists or stuff like that. So thank God Elon Musk, instead of wanting to go to Mars or instead of wanting to ride around in space, he decided he wants to have the truth told again in America because we're learning a lot of stuff we'd never know before. So libertyandprosperity.com, and that's the rant of the week. Thank you very much.
Okay, Seth, you're almost on time. Seth Grossman, Liberty and Prosperity, his website, libertyandprosperity.com. Talk with a Purpose is the show, Saturdays 9 till noon, WPG, Talk Radio 95.5, John, Matt, and Bob in that order, and maybe you at 609-407-1450. More Talk with a Purpose in just a moment.